Come on, Jimmy. Jimmy Duguid. All the way from Glasgow. You'll see why I'm talking in a Scottish accent now. Why don't, for the last time, why don't we just give Jimmy Duguid a big hand? I'm going to hand straight over to you, bro.
Thanks, Drew. Everyone knows that first line. No one knows the next one, eh? When will we see your light again? Hey, awesome. Okay, get it out of your system. Get it out of your system. Just get it out. Get it out. Get it out. The last sermon I preached up here, well, let me tell you, the last time I wore a kilt, I was getting married. Last time I was wearing a kilt, I said to my wife, I want to be with you for the rest of my life. And there's a Scottish saying that says, you don't draw a sword unless it's meant to taste blood. And it's the same with a kilt. You don't wear it if it's just going to be for generic kind of things. You don't wear it as a fancy dress party. You wear it to make a statement. So, the last time I preached up here, I don't know if you guys remember, I was preaching on contending for the prophetic word over our lives. And I said to us all, I said, let's stand up together and let's declare and contend for the words of prophecy that have been over our lives that we, you know what I wanted to do? I've always wanted to do this. Who's thirsty? Come. Okay, anyone that really is thirsty? Okay, because why should the pastors be the ones that get the cool waters, eh? I've always wanted to do that. Now I can. And 2 days later, after I declared that prophetic word, and I said, guys, we're gonna contend for the prophetic words that have been put over us, and we're going to come into agreement with them, and we're going to pull them into our realm. 2 days later, the Australian visa got accepted. Hey, how awesome is God? Preaching on just saying, Lord, we're not just content with the prophetic sitting up on a shelf, but we want to see it happen because we don't have a couple of hundred years like the Israelites did to see those things come to fruition. We have our life is but a mist, and then it's gone. Thanks so much to Steve and Jan for an awesome farewell this morning. Thanks for your kind words. The last 12 years of our lives have been... Where's Jan? Where's Steve? They're busy getting all emotional. The last 12 years of our lives have been an absolute treasure being with you guys. And thanks to this last opportunity to preach. Steve and Jan, we love you so much. And... I want to say, Steve and Jan love you guys. They love you guys so much. You know, you think like because we weren't here, we weren't missed. Let me tell you, I know firsthand that Steve would sit and often saying, hey, I haven't seen this guy for so long. I hope they're all right. You know, when he calls you, it's not to check up whether you're tithing or not. When he calls you, he really is sincerely concerned that you are doing all right and you're doing well. There is no agenda other than he wants to see you come into the fullness of your life and Jan as well. And so I want to encourage you guys just to get behind Steve and Jan in every opportune way you can. So I was thinking of what I could preach on. What would be the last sermon you'd preach on that could surmise everything that you've ever preached on from this pulpit and from the other pulpits when they were somewhere around here before we had the building alterations? And I thought, what could I possibly say that hasn't already been said? And then I woke up in the morning a couple of days ago and I said to Michelle, I said, I know exactly what I'm going to share. And I know exactly what I'm going to wear when I'm sharing it. I saw this picture of my granddad's kilt. Actually, he got it from his dad. And I was going to wear their medals tonight. It was just a bit noisy with all the microphones out here. But I was going to wear their medals because they got medals issued to them in World War I and World War II. And those medals are just tokens of their lives that were spent here on earth. And they paid a price so that we could live in a different kind of world, a better world. And it's just a little token of the heritage that's passed down to me. Like this kilt, the sporran, and everything that goes along with it, it got passed down from generation to generation. And so the title of my sermon tonight is A Heritage Worth Fighting For. Because the truth is, we are sitting and enjoying the benefits of all that is here around us. But someone's paid price, a heavy price, to hand this on down to us and say, right, what are we going to do with it? And so whether it's a token like a medal or a kilt or something to that effect, the truth is we are where we are and we are who we are because someone has paid a price. And we might not know that price. We might not even be fully aware of what that price entailed, but we are standing where we are because of what they have done. And that's what I want to expound on today. See, they're providing a real heritage, but we have very real kingdom rewards as well waiting for us. I'm going to be moving to a different part of a vineyard. A vineyard that is the same vine, but I'm going to be working in a different part of that vineyard. And so everything that I've done in the last couple of years, and I then entrust to the next generation, the next lot of people that are going to be coming into this community, it's going to be up to you to continue tending this vine as it extends and is made to grow and grow and grow. So I want us to open up our Bibles, because this is what I want to expound on today, to 2 Kings 2. And Sean, it's a last minute. Have you got it? No? If you can just bring it up. If you can get your Bibles out. This isn't just going to be a blow wind in my sails night tonight. It's going to be very scriptural, making it legal. One of these days I'm going to be the pastor you all hoped I would be. And we're going to read from verse 3. 2 Kings 2, we're going to read from verse 3. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" So when I read that, I often thought like, wow, these guys are all spiritual, because you know, you'll find out later on that they go to different places, Elijah and Elisha, and wherever they go, they say, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" And I always thought, wow, these prophets are truly prophets because they see things that aren't there, right? No. Let's just rewind a bit and go to verse 2. It says this: "When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind." No, 2 Kings 2, am I missing something? It says, "When the Lord was about to take up Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel.'" Obviously, they were going to Bethel because they heard about Bill Johnson. But besides that, they knew where to go. But it says there that on the day that God was wanting to take him, so this all transpired in 24 hours. On the day that God was about to take him, it says that God was wanting to take him, and it says, "Take him up to heaven in a whirlwind." All of a sudden, the picture gets a little bit different. Elijah and Elisha are walking around, and on that day, there's a whirlwind busy following them. Because they go, wherever they go, here's the whirlwind right behind them. And you'll see right at the end, it's the same whirlwind. And they're walking around, and the prophets aren't super spiritual. They're actually just looking at this whirlwind. They're just hanging around wherever they go. Here's this whirlwind. Here they go. Here's this whirlwind. They're kind of going, well, big discernment for us. Something's going to happen today. Today, something's going to happen. And they know that this is the day that God's going to take Elijah from them. So he says, the company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, right? What do they ask him? "Do you know that the Lord's going to take?" Why? Because here's this whirlwind. Whirlwind of fire. So it wasn't just an ordinary whirlwind. You know, when God does something, he's going to do it in an exceptional way that you kind of know, hang on, this isn't just your usual sports store. This is something outstanding, special. Wow. So they said to him, the company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. Now, I worked out, it's about 25 miles as the crow flies on the map, taking into account the hills and the gradient. These two, one specifically old guy, walked nearly 50 kilometers in that one day. Quite impressive, if you think that these guys are not young Ching Sprickens or spring chickens, as some of the younger guys are around here. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan, which means that this whirlwind's now following up behind them, and they stop at the river. And the Jordan is, if you ever see pictures of it, it's much like in some places the Vol River. It's not a small river, it's not a big river, but you can't easily get across it. And it says, Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. He opened up he said, what request? What request do you want? What can I do for you? Because I've got a relationship with God that people don't understand. What can I do for you? And he said, "I want what you've got. I want your anointing." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they're walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind, this whirlwind that's been following them. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Speaking about this heritage that we're passing on one to another, that we're preparing for the next generation, that we are ourselves walking in. When I joined HCC, I wouldn't have one father figure. This man cried out, he said, "My father, my father." He positioned himself as a son and said, "I want to serve you. I want to follow you. As surely as the Lord lives and as surely as I live, I will follow you." He positioned himself as a son, and that's what I did. When I came here, there wasn't one person that said, "I want to walk with you. I want to bless you. I want to pour into your life." I looked around and I saw a man standing up on a pulpit once, and every time he got up to preach, he would honor his wife and he would blow wind in her and he would love her from the pulpit. And I said, "You know what? If I ever get an opportunity to do that, I want to be able to honor and love and cherish my wife," because that was a value that I said, I don't have, because my background never had that. And so I was looking around saying, what's right? What do we do? What's this heritage that I've been given, and where am I going to be taking it? What am I going to be doing with it? And I realized that God put before me such a beautiful thing. He provided me with a multitude of people that I could draw from, that I could soak up and I could take from them, because I needed to have somebodies to come alongside and say, this is how we do it. And inside I knew I wasn't there yet, and I wanted to have everything that God had in store for me. Whole bunch of kids came up to me this morning, hugging me and in tears. And they said, "Are you really going? Please stay." And I said, "Well, it's now that you've asked, I'll do that." "Really? No." They all laughed. But I said to them, I said, "Your history doesn't determine how your future is going to turn out." Because a lot of these kids come from a similar background to what I did. "Your history doesn't determine how your future is going to turn out. You decide how it's going to turn out." See, there's people here that are preparing a platform for us to take this kingdom vineyard that we've been entrusted with. This isn't just church. We're not just doing church. We are establishing His kingdom. And whether it's some small measure, like Elisha did, just serving, or whether Elijah proclaiming or taking his coat up and smacking or dividing waters, miraculous signs, it doesn't make a difference. See, whether we're at work, whether at church, what we're doing is we're sowing seeds, we're watering, we're making His name famous across all the places. And whether you're here for a season and you're not, or whether you've just arrived, all I want to say is, do what He has put before you. You determine what your future is going to look like. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen. Remember this cloak he just rolled up and struck the water with? He says he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left. And then he crossed over. So my question tonight is, well, many of them are, but one of them is, did he ask the question before or after he struck the water? He says, where now is the God of Elijah? Did he ask that question before or after? After. So he rolled up this cloak, this anointing, and he struck the water and nothing happened. That's why he says, where now is the God of Elijah? And then he struck it again. And then the water parted. Don't be surprised if at first things don't work out as you hope them to. God wants to put your faith to work and not just rest on the faith of others that have gone before you. See, God has said, I've prepared for you this anointing, this mantle, this cloak, for you to go and turn the world the right side up. And you might sit down and say, well, God, I want to do this, and nothing happens. This heritage that we've been given, that we're going to be entrusting onto others, is we are building brick upon brick until eventually there is a glorious bride that has made herself ready, that is exercising her own faith and walking out in everything that she has been set before her. When I got my prophetic dream about going to Australia, I've got it down in my journal. It was a couple of days later, I submitted it to Steve and Jan, and I said, we want to put this where you guys can make a call for us, with us, stand with us. I was diligent in what he had given me to do, and he said, this is what I want you to do. And every time I went left, went right, I was just saying, all I have to do is just be diligent with what God has before me. I want to say, you can trust the elders of this church with your future, with the heritage you're building. We don't have an agenda to control or to see our own fame spread. We want to see you walk in everything that you have. Be diligent with what God has given you to do in this vineyard, in this time. Submit to the elders that have been put over you. Make their job a joy. Because we're nice people. Believe it or not, we actually don't like confrontation. It goes on to say, the company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Look, they said, we your servants have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley. They recognize straight away their mantle, the anointing that was upon Elijah now rests on Elisha. Who would like my anointing? That's kilts for everybody here. See, the spirit of Elijah was resting on him, but the spirit of Jesus is roaring in us. You don't have to get my mantle. You have a bigger one than mine, waiting to be pulled on, to be exercised. Because the faith that I have in Christ isn't meant for you. You can glean, you can draw, you can find, like I did, little things that kind of say, oh, I want that to be part of my DNA. I want that to be part of the heritage that I'm preparing for my next lot of people that are going to come into my heart, come into my lives. But the Spirit of Jesus that lives in us is the biggest mantle. It's the biggest anointing. It's the biggest everything. You should feel comfortable in your mantle. Comfortable in the anointing that God has given you. It is a powerful, powerful one. This isn't just an Old Testament scripture. I want to finish off on this. 2 Timothy 1:14. Don't go there. It says, God, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. My track that I'm running is in a different, has just diverted. It's just gone to a different location, the race that's set before me. But the race that's set before you, each of you, is this vineyard. It's this beautiful city of Durban. The treasure that's been entrusted to you as you run this race is the message of the gospel. There's a saying that says, do whatever you must to preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. You preach the gospel by just being you. You are a light, even if you don't recognize it as such just yet. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for an impartation. I want to pray for a double portion, not from me, but from the giver of all portions. Can we stand together? It's a beautiful thing to be in his vineyard, knitted together with other laborers in this vineyard. So would you take the person to your left and to your right's hand if you feel comfortable with that? And if someone doesn't feel comfortable with that, don't look at them funny, just... Lord, we just thank you for one another, because together we establish your kingdom in this place, and we are creating a heritage worth remembering, worth fighting for. We thank you and we honor every single person that has fought the good fight, that has run the race before them, that has enabled us to stand in the place where we are standing now. We give you thanks for their lives that have paid many a sacrifice to see your gospel being preached here. We want to see this gospel extended. We want to see this message grow. We want to see this church more established. So Lord, we pray for each person to the left and to the right of us. We pray for every single person, believer in this church that is here and is to come. And we speak life, power, kingdom over them, Lord. We speak a heritage that we are not just living and going to church, Lord, but we are building your kingdom. We're establishing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we come into agreement with the plans, the prophetic words that have been spoken over every single person that's around us. And we speak life. And we say amen to everything that you have in store for them. And we thank you for the good things, the good treasures that are rested up inside of them that are going to burst forth now, are going to spill over. Yeah. And that, Lord, we are going to be the beneficiaries and many, many, many more lives as this vineyard, as this vine explodes to just show how good our God is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you
amen.
So much.
Well, thanks, Jim. Kind of said what I had to say this morning about their faithfulness and integrity in this church for the last 12 years. You were one, I think you were the first elder to come on when Janet and I took over the team. And I was at Zip's first evening service tonight, so we came in a bit late. And I was looking at photographs of the last 12 years of the eldership team back then. And seven of those are running churches today. And you the eighth. And it's just amazing to see what this local church has allowed to come through. It was very much the vision. See people saved, see people discipled, see people released. But it's always hard to see people released because it's a bittersweet thing. It's like giving birth. There's pain involved. It's uncomfortable. It's a messy thing. There's often words that the mother says to the husband that she wouldn't say over a nice candle at dinner. Things get said. There are maybe, and in a local church, when you give birth, it's what the church is for, is to release ministry. But, and if it's done properly, there's still pain. Even when it's done in integrity, like
Jimmy has. There's still sadness, and there might be some suspicions cast around by people saying, you know, ascribing to them the wrong motives for leaving the country, and rumors going around about the real reason, you know, why Jimmy's left behind the scenes. And some of that happens, but they like the stretch marks that accompany a birthing process. But we will never substitute giving birth to just keeping a model perfect body, because this church exists to have children. I remember one asking years back, asking a couple when they were going to have children, and she said, I don't have children because it's going to ruin my body. And I thought the very thing you were designed for and created for, and it's so beautiful. And maybe it's because society's put pressure on women to look a certain soapbox, paintbrush way. But the most beautiful woman is those who've had children and her body's changed, but she's got a legacy that she leaves behind. My wife is absolutely beautiful. And I look at my sons and my daughter and my grandson, and I think, I wouldn't want her any other way. She's just perfect as she is. And that's how God looks at this church. I really felt prophetically God saying, well done, Highway, that you've been willing to have birthmarks and been willing to have the discomfort and being willing to have the suspicions cast even in some circumstances. But that your sons, like Jimmy, and we think of Mark and Bridget, and we think of Greg and Michelle, and we think of Kevin and Nicole, and we think of Greg and Laurie, and Brad and Esty, and Zip and Issa, and Jimmy and Michelle. These are good people that are going out to make the kingdom reveal God's goodness. And we as a church have been part of that. So pat yourself on the back and say, well done, No, you don't have to do that. But honestly, Jimmy, well done. Thank you for modeling that things can be done properly and that we can continue a relationship into the future. Appreciate you, and thank you for being with us tonight. I think Jimmy's buying pizzas all round. He took up an offering this morning. Sorry. But just one more time. Michelle, where are you? One more time. Can you just reach out your hands and we're going to just bless them. They leave in about 10 days. And they're both dressed up as Scotsmen tonight. I wonder if you could reach out your hand to them, some of the other elders. And just a couple of their friends, come quickly. You can't all come, but the first six that are here. Okay, that's it. Nobody else. Just kidding. Come, Trace. Grant, nice to see you guys too, eh? Lord, we just thank you for Jim and Michelle, and even as you shared tonight, the heart of an Elisha, a heart of one called to undergird and to blow wind in the sails of those that they work with. And we pray, Father, you bless the integrity of his heart. You bless his faithfulness. You bless, Lord, everything he puts his hand to do. Lord, we're going to miss them. We really are going to miss them. But Lord, we know that this life is short. It's a mist that appears and vanishes. But what's built for eternity is forever and forever and forever. And we want to bless them with a large harvest of fruitfulness into the next generation. We thank you for them. We thank you for them in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people agreed. Amen. Thank you.